He's going to be a pastor. He likes to talk. There's a song. You know it. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. One of my favorite verses that I think exemplifies the celebration of baptism and our gospel reading for tonight contains these words. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Fall I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. This, my friends, is the door of salvation, the gate. This is where God claims his children in the washing of water with the word and makes a promise that is forever. You are my property, and you can fight it if you want to, just like Jonah was tonight, fighting the Holy Spirit, fighting the name of Jesus, fighting the cross. But God said, you're mine, and I'm going to keep saying it. And when I'm not saying it, my people are going to say it. Jesus said, I am the narrow door. No one gets in except through me. Did you hear that tonight? Jesus, he said, enter, strive to enter by the narrow door, because it is so narrow that with your own effort and willpower, you couldn't even get your little pinky through that door. That's how narrow it is. But it's wide open. And Jesus, in his mercy and grace, carries us through that door, because he is that door. Fall I to thy fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Day after day, living our baptism, walking through the door of Jesus, narrow but wide open. Doors. Have you ever had a door slammed in your face? I grew up on a farm, quarter of a mile driveway. We could see people coming. And we knew when they were Jehovah's Witnesses. We knew it. You could spot them a quarter of a mile away. And we would shut the drapes. And we would lock the door, because we didn't want to enter into conversation with them. Nowadays, I'd be wide open to it. Bring it on. I wasted 2 hours of time of some Mormons in Lake Lillian. They didn't know it was the parsonage they were knocking on. I had a sermon to write. I didn't care. I thought 2 hours, they couldn't go bothering somebody else. Doors. Every time I go to the hospital, St. Mary's, I park underground. And then as I'm walking up, it's like magic. It's like I'm a king of royalty or something. I just get close and those doors, they just open. I thought, wow, somebody's glad I came. And then I go over by the elevator and I have to push a little thing. And then, sometimes I gotta wait, but they open. And then I get up and I get into this revolving door, you know, but you gotta get out. Otherwise, you just go around and around in a circle, or you end up back out the same way you came in. Right? I was taught a long time ago in seminary, you don't go walking into somebody's room. You don't go walking through the door of their hospital room without asking permission, because that's their space. And so the door can be closed. And sometimes I have to say to a nurse, I'm a pastor, I'd like to visit one of my parishioners. Are they sleeping? Can I go in? I see that the door is shut. And then they say, let me check. They go and they check, and they say, nope, you can come in. They open the door wide, and I go through. There are times when I leave the hospital that I have to be careful, because I'm kind of focused, and The door opens and I'm about to step out, and guess what? Somebody's about to step in. So you got to pay attention when you're standing by doors, right? I go to Medina Towers, you push one of the handicap things outside there, and whoosh, the door opens, push another one, whoosh, it opens. But when you want to leave Medina Towers nursing care, you know what you got to do? You got to push in a code. You know why? Same thing with those little bands that the babies and moms and dads have. This is about security and crying out loud. If we're going to have security at Medina Towers, if we're going to have security in a hospital so that somebody doesn't steal a baby, you think the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ is going to let somebody steal one of his lambs out of his hands? Ain't going to happen. We've got God's word on it. John 10 says, no one is going to snatch one of my lambs out of my hands. I know my own, and my own know me, and they follow me. That's what they do. You talk about show me some identification? Just look, if they're following Jesus, then you know who they are. You know that they're one of his sheep, that they love Jesus, that they live for Jesus. You're going to know it because that's their identification. Doors. Some of you are old enough, my vintage, you know, like aging well, like a good wine. And you maybe remember Monty Hall. Remember Monty Hall? Yeah, Ernie remembers Monty Hall. Monty Hall, let's make a deal. And Monty might say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $100 for every paperclip that you have on you. And it might be your lucky day. You might say, I got 100 of them on me, right? Or you might say, well, I've only got 3, or I got none. But let's say you had 3. And you get $300. And then Monty says, would you like to keep that $300? Or would you like to get what's in that box? You could trade. Now, the box might have a washer and dryer. It might have a new TV. Or it might have a can of dog food. But at the end of, let's make a deal, right? You know, you have those 3 doors. Door number 1, door number 2, door number 3. And the ones that get to be a part of that. You know, somebody says, well, I'd like to have, you know, it's hard, right? You've only got 3 choices. Door number 2. So you take it, and then Monty says, well, let's look up and see what's behind door number 3. Opens it up, and it's not really much in there. And you're thinking, And then he says, would you like to keep door number 2, or would you like door number 1? Probabilities. How many of you understand probabilities in here? This is a big thing. They still talk about Monty Hall and probabilities. A person would say, well, you know, I started off with a 1 out of 3 chance, right? Now it's 50-50. No, it's not. Because you see, you made your first choice. When you made your first choice, you had a 1/3 chance of winning and a 2/3 chance of losing. You still have, if you keep your door, a 1/3 chance. But if you switch, now you've actually upped your odds to 2/3. You see? Doors. Doors. We face them or they face us all the time. So in our gospel reading for tonight, a text that I've never preached on before, it's never come up in the lectionary. One similar in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And I thought, this is great. And there's a baptism. I get to preach about the narrow door. And that can scare the bejeebies out of some people. Because if the door is so cotton-picked and narrow, that you can't even get your little pinky through it? How are you going to squirm the rest of your body through it? Oh, I'll go on a diet. Ha, good luck with that. Huh? You see what I'm saying? This door is so narrow. And here's how the text started tonight. It says that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Oh, wait a minute. We've been there before, haven't we? We know what this is about. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through chapter 19, verse 27. That's the travel narrative. Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem like a flint, with determination, and he's not turning back. When the time for his being lifted up, executed, and exalted on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, when the time drew near, he set his face toward Jerusalem. You remember those words he's been preaching? It says he's been teaching, right? You know those words. Leave the dead, bury the dead. Foxes have holes, Birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Whoever sets their hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. And then he sends 72 disciples out in pairs. Remember how he sends them out? No shoes, no extra clothes, no money. You love it, don't you? I mean, I like to be prepared. Are you crazy? And Jesus says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be rejected. They're going to slam the door in your face. Shake it off. Shake it off. There's a whole bunch of other homes you need to go to, right? Jesus has been speaking hard words. And evidently, some people have been paying attention. They've actually been in church and they've been listening. He says, there was this rich man. And God blessed him with a bumper crop. A bumper crop. What are you going to do? His barns are too small. So he says to himself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear my old barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'll say to myself, self, you're set. You don't have to rely upon anybody. God says to him that night, fool, your life is required of you tonight. And all this stuff that you've got, who's going to get it? So it is with those who are rich in things and poor in soul. You got to know what Jesus has been preaching about and teaching about. Read chapters 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, and then you get to 13 tonight, and then you understand why there's somebody in the crowd that comes up and says, Jesus, are those who are going to be saved going to be few? And what does Jesus say? Strive to enter the door because it's narrow, and those who find it are few. Because the time is coming when the owner of the house is going to say, it's party time. Everything's set. We've got a feast. He's going to shut the door. And then did you hear what's going to happen? People are going to be outside and they're going to be pounding. Right? Let me in, darn it! Let me in right now. You hear me? The nerve. The nerve of those folks. Pounding on the door of our Lord and Savior Jesus, demanding to get in. Did you hear what Jesus says twice in our lesson for tonight? He says, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. I don't know where you come from. I don't know where you come from. That's Jesus, right? You're thinking, what is going on here? What kind of a prayer do I have? So you know what they say? Yeah, but Jesus, you know me. I came to church every week. I eat at your table, remember? I prayed, I went to Bible study, I tithed. Because we think that we can manufacture our own doors. And some people will try to manufacture doors of good works. Oh, but I repented every day. Yeah, I saw you on the street corner, I mean, repenting in front of everybody, for sure. I saw that. You see, all of this kind of stuff that we want to accumulate doesn't count for nothing. Because Jesus says, I don't know where you come from. That's not the only door. Satan is always going to mess with us when we're at the door. He is. He's going to say, well, you know you haven't done enough. You need to do more works. You're not good enough to get in. You've got to be good enough for Jesus. Or Satan will say, you know, haven't you been listening to some of those pastors? You need to affirm your neighbor's faith. Because it doesn't matter what people believe. Because we're all going to go to the same destination. 1991, a Gallup poll in the United States of America. This was 1991. I can guarantee you that it's expanded since then. 78% of the people said, that they felt that they were going to go to heaven. 78%. Because you see, they've got the doors all figured out. All you need to do is be sincere. Just be good enough. Be a good citizen. Be something, right? But it's all about what you do. You heard that story that Jesus told. A rich man came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the law. What does the law say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "You do this and you'll live." But seeking to justify himself. That's always what gets us in trouble, isn't it? When we want to create our own doors, Unitarian Universalism, or good works, and we want some other door than the door that Jesus provides. The door that Jesus provides is really narrow. I mean, it's small, but it's wide open. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." Arnie knows about this because he's got sheep. Samuel was raised in Bethlehem where our Lord was born. They know about this. I was over in Israel. I know about this. They have sheepfolds. They've got rocks, and it makes an enclosure. And then there's this narrow little door, wide enough for a lamb to get through. You know what the good shepherd does? The good shepherd stands there, and the sheep that know his voice, they come to him. They know they're safe. They know they're secure. They go between the legs of the shepherd. And the shepherd is putting oil in their wounds and examining them and says, "Yep, you're mine. Yep, you're mine. Yep, you're mine." Loving them. They go through the legs. And then you know what the shepherd does? He lays right down there. There is nobody that's going to get in after those sheep. And none of those sheep are going to get out of the fold. Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheepfold." There's a lot of other people that want to be sneaky. They want to climb in by another way. You know them. They're thieves and robbers. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. "I came," Jesus said, "that you might have life and have it abundantly." So what do I got to do to be saved? Are those who are going to be saved few in number? Jesus says, "You know, some of the last are going to be first, and some of the first are going to be last." When my daughter Rachel was just a kid, little tyke, with her brother Josh and sister Jenna, and we had a rule. Hopefully they still remember it and practice it with their own kids. You get in the car, we had a minivan, and you got to hear click, 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 click. Seatbelts, right? That's a law. Well, we were in the van. We were about to go on a trip. And then Rachel says, "My Mamie." My blanket, right? Remember those days? She had a Mamie, a blanket. She left it in the house. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I have to shut the ignition off. I got to open the door and get out of the van. And now I got to go. And I'm kind of rolling my eyes because I'm not always patient like God is. And I open the door with the key, and she goes in and comes right back out. I thought, what is she doing? Nothing in her hands. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Get back in the vehicle, click, click. We're all set to go on our trip, right? And Julie says to me, "You know why Rachel wanted to go in the house?" I said, "Yeah, she wanted her Mamie, her blanket." But we went in, and she walked right out, and she didn't grab her blanket. She said, "That's not why she wanted to go in. Ask her." "Rachel, why did you want to go back in the house?" "Because, Dad, Jesus says, whoever is last will be first in heaven." Are those who will be saved going to be few? I was a camp counselor after my freshman year at Concordia College. I was at Luther Point Bible Camp in Grantsburg, Wisconsin. And my dad was working up in Superior, Wisconsin. And our camp staff was going to sing at my home congregation in New Richmond, Wisconsin. So my dad picked me up on his way home on a Friday night. And we got a chance to talk on the drive. Now my dad, he was a quiet guy. He'd give you the shirt off of his back, but he was a quiet guy. And on the way driving home, I don't know, I suppose because I was at a Bible camp where maybe it was the Holy Spirit, I said, "Dad, isn't salvation wonderful?" He said, "What?" I said, "Dad, isn't salvation wonderful?" And he said to me, "Well, I don't think I'll make it anyway." I said, "What?" He said, "I don't think I'll ever do enough." I said, "That's what's so wonderful, Dad. It's grace. It's a free gift from God. It's not what we do. It's what Jesus has done. He's the door, and he's wide open." About a year later, my dad was killed in an accident at work. We didn't have a lot of faith conversations, but I'm glad I got to speak the gospel to my own dad. Because I'll tell you, there's nothing that scares us more than to think one of our kids or grandkids or parents doesn't know Jesus. Because Jesus is the door. He's not one of many. He's not going to play around like that. He doesn't want just a piece of your life. He wants everything of you. And he died for everything of you. And so he says, "This is the door. Me. I'm the door," Jesus says. "I'm the good shepherd, and I'm the door of the sheepfold. And no one gets into the Father's house except by me." John 14, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's prepared, I'm going to come and carry you." He's going to carry you because he knows that the door is narrow. And the only way we're going to get through it is when Jesus carries us. It's as simple as that. It's grace. And my dad needed to hear it. And tonight, Jonah got to hear it and got to receive it. The amazing grace of God. Doors. There's going to be a banquet. Did you hear that? Abraham and Sarah are going to be there. Jacob and Rachel and Leah are going to be there. Isaac and Rebekah are going to be there, and you're not going to be slaves anymore having to stand up while you eat. At Passover once a year, the Israelites got to recline. They'll be reclining at table. All the saints. All the saints are going to be there. And they're going to come from north and south and east and west. Are those who are saved going to be few, Jesus? Jesus says, "What about you? I'm the narrow way for you. Right here, right now. I'm going to carry you through. And you can sleep through it. Or you can kick and scream. But I want you to be saved. And I am," Jesus says, "the door for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our hymn of the day. Found on your bulletin insert.